So I wanted to talk about karma today, and specifically causal purification. So we went over, I think 2 weeks ago, we were talking about healing on three levels. Do you guys remember that? And the way we described healing on three different levels, the gross, the subtle, and the causal, or body, mind, and spirit, we were talking about healing as giving, right? And we said that in order to heal on the causal level, remember the causal body is the karmic body, right? So the causal body, using the analogy of health, the causal body gets sick when it's loaded down with karma, with heavy negative karma that kind of weighs our soul down, right? And we heal the causal body, so to speak, by purifying our negative karma. And how do we heal karma? As we know here, as we study here, we heal karma by paying attention to our life catalysts, our life lessons, the experiences that we continually are drawing to ourselves. And we're looking to gain insight through our life experiences. That is the essence of causal purification. Using our life catalysts to heal our negative karma. So you guys know I like to use simple analogies and just to kind of boil things down to the lowest common denominator. And I really like using karma as a lens for spiritual evolution, because we can really eliminate every other variable in the universe other than karma and just see spiritual evolution through that simple lens. There is positive karma and negative karma, and that's it. We're in a universe, that appears to be what? Dualistic, materialistic, physical, separate, right? And so we're trying to heal that duality and return to the vision of oneness. So we have to, in that sense, collapse the polarity in our perception, which means, according to the law of one, and this is why I love using this teaching format that the law of one gives, is because it's so helpful to see how, what does it mean to collapse duality in ourselves? The law of one says you do that by choosing a polarity and committing to it 100%. So if the two are really one, then when we are fully in one or the other polarity, when we become totally positively or negatively purified, polarized, then they will collapse. Duality will collapse. So as we move towards the positive polarity, we do that by what? Healing our negative karma. Now remember, negative doesn't mean bad and positive doesn't mean good. It means contracting or expanding. You can contract or expand all you want. Both are equally valid. The universe doesn't have a preference for you. It wants to give you what you're choosing. So the law of one says when you choose the positive polarity, you can transcend duality, which is third density, and ascend to a fourth density level of consciousness, which is the awareness of oneness. That's the service to others path. That's where it's leading us, to the awareness of oneness. So looking at the universe through this simple lens of karma, we can start to see why the giving and receiving conversation is so important. And let's tie that in with karma now. So negative karma causes your state of being to contract, right? Your frequency to lower. When you generate negative karma, it's going to cause your frequency to diminish. And that's felt in the form of suffering, right? Increasing levels of suffering, uncomfortable negative emotions. So your experience has become more limited now, more dense, more challenging, more painful, more difficult. That's the sign that there's negative karma weighing down the causal body. Who's tracking? So if you want to generate negative karma and to have that experience, that's totally valid. Universe will say yes to that and reflect that back to you. The universe is happy to give you negative or positive karma, depending on what you're asking for. And what you're asking for is what you're giving. What you're asking the universe for depends on what state of being you're in, right? When you're in a state of being of giving and receiving, you're generating positive karma. You're becoming positively polarized. Positive karma also has its own momentum and inertia, just like negative karma does. When the wheel gets rolling in that negative direction, our mind is very powerful and has a lot of kind of punching power. We feel more negative, and so we think more negative thoughts, and then we feel more negative feelings, and then we think more negative thoughts, and we're just lowering and lowering, right? It has that kind of inertia that you got to break out of it with your own self-effort, right? With your own willpower. You have to say no to that state of being eventually. So we generate positive karma by being in the state of giving and receiving. When our default operating mode in life is giving and then receiving and then giving and then receiving, meaning we're not looking for what others can do for us anymore. We're not looking to get some pleasure, you know, from life. We're not looking to just get a positive outcome so I'll feel better about myself. We're literally like, who can I serve today? Who can I bless today? Father, lead me and guide me today to the one I'm supposed to bless. I know someone's out there today I can bless. And your heart is just open like that in service to others. First of all, you're living in a lot of joy, which is its own benefit. But secondly, you're generating positive karma and you're building momentum in the positive direction. This is why we say the path tends to get easier and easier as you unfold down it, right? It feels the most challenging right at the start when we finally say no to the ego's thought system and we say, I'm gonna heal my beliefs. I'm gonna move towards love and away from fear. Well, then the mind starts to put up a fight and we're in for a bit of a fight, right? As the ego lashes out and does everything it can to get you back on the fish hook and reel you back in. So you gotta be committed to the path of love and truth. And you got to move through some uncomfortable feelings for a while. But the more we experience oneness, the more we taste it, the more we are aware of it in our perception, the easier and easier it becomes to choose it, right? Because again, love is its own reward. There's no longer a motive to escape suffering, but the motive becomes, oh, that love is so sweet and delicious, and I just want more of it. How do I embody even more of this beautiful love? How do I become the one true habitation of love in myself? Eventually, that's a much more inspiring motive to us than just, how do I stop suffering? That's a sign that we've generated a lot of momentum towards the positive polarity. So the whole path to enlightenment can be summed up in arriving in this state where you only generate positive karma and you never generate negative karma. Enlightenment can be summarized. So I want you to connect this. We said enlightenment is being in loving relationship to everything. Enlightenment is making all relationships loving. Another definition we can use now is enlightenment is arriving at the state where you only ever generate positive karma and you never generate negative karma. So what would that state be? How could we describe what that state is? It's being in loving relationship to everything. So when you arrive at the state where you are only in a loving relationship with reality, there's nowhere in your mind that you're still fighting reality or having a special relationship, trying to possess it and cling to it. When you're not doing that anymore, you've arrived at a permanent state of giving and receiving, which means you're in a permanent state of positive karma. You're no longer doing things that are generating negative karma. So we can only move in that direction. We can only arrive at that state by practicing loving relationships. So from a perspective of karma and healing the spiritual body, the causal body, we can use the lens of loving relationship to ask ourselves a few powerful questions. And I'm going to get to what those questions are. But I want to emphasize first that we arrive at the state not by trying to get there with effort, but by achieving a certain state of being. That the state of being allows us to see the universe correctly. And that's how we positively polarized. That's how we move and create positive karma. We have to see the universe correctly, because if we're still holding on to inaccurate and flawed perceptions of how reality works, then we're gonna still generate some negative karma. That perception's gonna, we're gonna have to generate negative karma at some point if we see these flaws in the universe, flaws like separation and lack. So to move into loving relationships with everything requires you to perceive the universe truthfully and correctly. Your perception of the universe has to be accurate, and it has to be true in order to only generate positive karma, right? So that's really just a response to right seeing. So if you see the universe incorrectly in any way, separate, lacking, fearful, limited, those perceptions will cause you to generate negative karma. So you can't be like, how do I stop making negative karma? It's not really the right question, right? It's sort of like, hey, stop making mistakes. Don't make a mistake. You're like, gee, thanks. I was trying to make mistakes before, but now that you ask me, I'm gonna try to stop making mistakes. Like, obviously I made a mistake because I didn't know I was, right? I thought I was doing the right thing and it just wasn't the right thing. So I can't just stop making mistakes. I don't know what mistakes I'm gonna make next. I never know that. So instead we say, forget about that. Just try to abide in the state of giving and receiving, of loving relationships. And then that has a rebound effect, right? Where the more we can actually be in loving relationship to everything, and it becomes easier, it becomes more natural, it actually becomes very desirable. The more negative and chaotic and angry or upset someone else is becoming in our presence actually forces us more into a loving state. We feel the need and demand for love, and so we embody more love. We hold more space, we have more acceptance of this person and their state of consciousness. As we do that, it proves that our perception is true, right? It proves the vision is accurate, because now we're experiencing reality within ourselves. We experience the fact that when someone else is in a negative state of consciousness towards me, that doesn't dictate that I have to be, but that I am in control of my state of being once I'm aware of it. And I can choose love. And eventually love chooses itself. Love chooses me in those moments. There's just an instant, immediate, effortless response of love pouring out of us in direct proportion to the demand of the moment. That's the state of giving and receiving. So the second that you move out of giving and receiving in any moment, you move into taking and keeping. And that's how you generate negative karma. You're either in giving and receiving, or you're in taking and keeping, right? The thought system of unity, the thought system of separation. So pay attention to where you're not giving and receiving. Pay attention to where you're taking and keeping, because in those areas, that's where you're generating that negative karma. And so all we have to do is turn the wheel the other direction. Wherever we notice that we're in taking and keeping with life, with the universe, we just say, ah, okay, thank you. I'm gonna change that now to giving and receiving. So you start looking instead for what can I give to the universe in this area of my life, rather than what can I take from the universe in this area. So here's the two questions for you to consider from the lens of karmic purification, causal purification, cleansing the spirit of negative karma. These are two powerful questions you can ask. Number one, what is the ego trying to take and keep for itself here in this area? What is the ego trying to take and keep here? Like, figure out what the thing is. Maybe it wants to take some pleasure from life, or some acceptance from life, or some feeling of worthiness from life, whatever it may be. Figure out what that thing is. Now, you don't need to do anything else other than be aware of the areas that you're taking and keeping, generating negative karma. All you have to do is notice that it's happening, right? You just have to notice that you're doing that, and the awareness itself will begin to heal it. So what is the ego trying to take and keep to itself here? leads into the second question, the follow-up, which is then, what do I need to give here? What do I need to give in this situation? What am I not giving, right? Because Course in Miracles says, only what you have not given can be lacking in any situation. So where you're taking and keeping represents where you're not giving. So go, okay, what do I need to give here? And of course, you just give to yourself whatever the ego says that you're lacking. Whatever the ego is trying to take from life, you just say, oh, hold the phone there, ego. I got this within myself. Let me handle it. And you give yourself a feeling of acceptance. You give yourself a feeling of self-love. And then all of a sudden, you don't feel so much need to try to take love from somebody else, because you're giving it. What you give is what you keep to yourself, because what you give is what you prove, right? If I give something, that's the proof that I'm the source of it. And in the metaphysical, there's no limitation to the supply of states of being, you know, the state of being of joy or peace or love. These states exist within us in infinite potential. They only have to be drawn upon, right? We can't run out of a state of being. The universe is infinite. There's no end to states of being. So we just have to access the states of being we want, and we activate those states of being by giving that thing. So if you can't feel accepted within yourself, if ego's really just blocking you and it's like, nope, I'm not gonna let you feel accepted inside. You say, no problem, I'll just accept something else then. I'll just go give acceptance to everything I see outside of me. I'll just go look at a bug crawling across the dirt and just allow that bug to be exactly as it is. Accept it in that acceptance of love. I'll go over to the tree in my yard and just look at the tree and just bless it for being exactly as it is. And then all of a sudden you're generating so much momentum towards positive karma, because you're giving out love. So this is the, what's the name of the weapon in Hinduism, in the Mahabharata? There's a name for it. It's like, in Sanskrit, it means the ultimate weapon. Brahmastra, that's right, yeah. This is like the Brahmastra to the ego, because ego can't stop you from giving, right? It can only try to persuade you not to. Ego can only try to sweet talk you into not giving, or give you some seemingly valid reason why you shouldn't give love in this moment, but it can't actually stop you from doing it, right? That's the good news. And when you do that, when you give love, it is a devastating blow to the ego's thought system. It contradicts everything ego believes in and stands upon. So what is the ego trying to take and keep in this karmic area of my life? Again, all I have to do is be aware of it. Just see it. Next question I ask once I see it. All right, then what do I need to give in this area? This is the greatest medicine you could ever let your spirit swallow. This gets right at the root, right at the heart of what karma is and how we heal it. We notice where we're taking and keeping, and then we begin giving and receiving instead.